Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Psachim Nun Dalet. We are down at the wide lines, actually the second wide line, the last word on that line, V'ur. We'll continue our discussion regarding the bracha that we recite on Matzah Shabbos on a flame. As Taz explained to us, it's not a Birchas Hanenin, due to the hana that we have from flame, because it's not a significant hana, it's not ingested like food or drink. Rather, it's a berchas hashvach, to praise Hashem, to mark the occasion of the bria, the fact that fire was created right then and there on Motzei Shabbos. Says the Gemara, the second of the wide lines, the last word, v'ur v'motzei Shabbos ivri, is that the case, that fire was created initially on the first Motzei Shabbos, of creation. But Tanya, we have a Braisa, a Mishnah, as follows. Asoro dvorim nivru berav Shabbos ben Hashmashes. There are actually 10 things which were created on that first Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashes. During that twilight zone between Friday and Shabbos. As the Mefarshim explained, not only was natural phenomena created during the Sheshis and Bereishis, but also Nisim. As the Rambam explains, for instance, on the second day of the Bria, when water was created, Hashem embedded, programmed into water, that when Klal Yisrael faces the Yam Suf, it will split before them. So there's no new phenomenon in this world. There's no new Metzius. The Pasuk in Kehillah says, Eina kol chadash tachas Hashemesh. There's nothing new under the sun. Even a miracle that occurs later on throughout history has been embedded and already pre-programmed within the substance, the matter of creation, that eventually it will express itself in this manner as well, in the manner of a mnes. So that happened on the second day when water was created, etc., etc. There was some nisim, however, which were unique, as the Maharal explains. They are a combination of spiritual and physical. And these are going to be the nisim listed in this Mishnah. And they were programmed during the point of transition between the physical and the spiritual, the Erev Shabbos leading into Shabbos, which is a Ruchnis entity. So between Friday and Shabbos, that's the point when these Nisim were programmed, initiated, and introduced into the world, of course in potential form, which only were realized and manifested later on throughout history. So what are these 10 things? Asorah Dvarim Nivru Be'er Shabbos Ben Hashmashes. Elohim. Be'er. The Be'er, which was the Be'er Shel Miriam, which supplied water for Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, v'hamon v'keshes, a rainbow, ksav, Rashi says, the form of the letters, u'michtav, and the actual instrument, which was used to form those letters into luchais, v'haluchais, and luchais themselves, v'kiver shel Moshe, the cavity of the caver of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was a miraculous entity. We know that Chachamim tell us, you would look on top of the mountain, you would see it on the bottom, then go down to the bottom and see it up on top. So this was a miraculous phenomenon and was created then during Ben Hashmashes on Erev Shabbos. Uma'ara sh'amad boy Moshe v'Elio, as well as the cave in which Moshe Rabbeinu stood. He was in that cave when Hashem passed over it, passed by it after Matan Torah, when he wanted to see Hashem's glory. Hashem says, hide in this cave and I'll pass before you. V'Elio. And it was actually the same cave that Eliyahu HaNavi resided in when he was running away from Izebel. Psichas pia asin, the ability for the Bilam's donkey to get up and speak in front of him. Upsichas pia aretz, levloyas rishayim, and the opening in the ground to swallow the rishayim, Korach, and his group. So we have 10. Rav Nechemya Omer, Mishum Aviv. In the name of his father, he added another two. Afa ur vaperet, fire. And a parrot, a crossbreed, a mule. There's nothing new under the sun. So when was that introduced into the world? That parrot was introduced during the Bein HaShemashes of the first Erev Shabbos, the crossbreed between the horse and the donkey. And apparently this was the forerunner for all crossbreeds and all types of kalayims, which will follow suit throughout the years of the Bria. Rabbi Yisha Oymah Mishum Aviv, he called his father, who added another two to the list, Afa Ayil Vashomer, the Ayil, the ram, which Avraham Avinu spotted after the Akedas Yitzchak. So that was created at that point, Vashamer, and this worm which would cut through hard surfaces used to create the build a Beis HaMikdash, that also was introduced into the world at that point. Let's take a look at Rashi. Vaharet. So if we go up a couple of lines in Rashi, we'll see the word Vaharet. Explains Rashi, why was there a need to have the parrot introduced during the Sheshes and Bereshis? Says Rashi, Ein kol chadash tachas hashamash. Pasuk Keller says, there's nothing new under the sun. Uperet rishon niver min haaretz. The first parrot, the first crossbreed, was created from the aretz. V'lo yibo min hakalayim was not created from crossing over two different minim. So the concept was introduced already back then, and that allowed, so to speak, for all the subsequent kalayims to be created as well. Ayel says Rashi shel Avram hashomer. What is that? Kimin teilas hay, like a small snail or worm. Ve'en kol davar kosh oyn panav shlo yisparak. Nothing hard that could withstand the power of this shomer, or just cuts right through it. Uboy bana shloimos habayis nachaskitin. This was used by Shlomo Melech to build the Beis Hamikdash. In which case he could not use metal tools. He needed to saw through the stones using this unique worm. Continues the Gemara. Another item added to the list, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afatzvas. Also, a pliers. The first pliers was created by Hashem during Sheis Mebereshis, during the Ben Hashmashis of Erev Shabbos. Why? Hu Hoya Omer, he would explain like this. Tzvasa, bit tzvasa mis abda. How do you form, how do you produce a plier? Tzvasa, bit tzvasa, using another pliers, mis abda gets produced. The metalsmith, he takes a pliers, grabs a piece of metal, holds it over the fire, and that is used to form the pliers. Utsvasa kamaisa manovat. Who made the first pliers? How do you ever get started? Halai, apparently, this is the truth. Briya b'deshamayim. It was created b'deshamayim. It was a nace creation during the Sheshes Mebereshis, which would allow for all subsequent pliers to be created. Amar leyu, amri loy. They respond to Rabbi Yehuda, not necessarily. You don't have to have a pliers created by Hashem. Efshar yasena b'tfos. You know, you get the first pliers. You make it in a tfos, in a form, in a mold. You could put it in a cave on. You could form it, produce it straight away. Just pour some metal into that form, and you have a pliers. Halai. So apparently, the truth can be that no bria b'dei adami. It was created by human endeavor, not b'dei shemayim. Okay, so this is a machlokes regarding the pliers. But it seems that all agree regarding the Ur fire, that indeed it was created when? Erev Shabbos, ben Hashmashis, and not on Matzah Shabbos. Like Hasha. The answer is, depends what fire. Hob Ur Didan. We were speaking about our physical fire that was introduced on Matzah Shabbos. Hob Ur Digehenem. The Mishnah, which indicates that the Ur was Nivra, Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashes, is in reference to the Ur of Gehenim, fire of Gehenim, a spiritual fire. That was during ben Hashmashes, Erev Shabbos. Ur didan, our fire, Matzah Shabbos. Ur de Gehenim, Erev Shabbos. V'ur de Gehenim, Erev Shabbos, Ivri? Is that the case? That fire of Gehenim was created in Erev Shabbos? V'atanya, Shiva Dvarim, Nivru Koidem, Shinivru Oilam. There were seven things created before the world was created. They preceded the world. These spiritual entities were needed for the proper functioning of the world which was created after them. Ve'elohein. These are the following seven things which were created before Briyas Olam. Torah, which was created 2,000 years before the world. Utshuva, V'gan Eden, V'gehen, V'kisei HaKavod, U'Beis HaMikdash, U'Shmoi Shel Mashiach. Explains the Gemara. Torah, Dechsiv, Hashem Kanani Reishis Darkai. Hashem acquired me, this is the Torah speaking, acquired me before, Reishis Darkai, in the beginning, before he created everything. Tshuva, what do we find? That Tshuva preceded the world of Siv, Veterem Har Miladu, before the mountains were born. Uksiv, and in that capital it says, Toshav en Hashad Daka, Hashem puts a person through difficult situations, so he humbles himself and does tshuva. So we see that the context there is about tshuva. And when was that introduced? Conceptually, before the Briyas Olam. What about Gan Eden? Tchsiv Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan BeEden Mikedem. The drasha here is that Mikedem means preceded the world's creation. Gehenem Tchsiv Ki Oroich Me'Asmal Tifta. Rashi explains that Tifta is a reference to Gehenem. She'll call Mespata BeYitzro Nefel Sham. Whoever gets convinced by Yetzer Hara to do Averis, he falls into the Gehenem. So Tifta is a reference to Gehenem, and when was that introduced? Me'Asmal. It was massively for the world. What about Kisei HaKavod? Ubeis HaMikdash. Tchsiv Kisei HaKavod Marim. Rashi explains Marim is someplace in the sky. And that's where the Kisei HaKavod is. Mei Rishon. It preceded the world. Mokai Mikdashenu. The Beis HaMikdash as well preceded Briyas Olam. And finally, Shmoi Shel Mashiach. How do we know that preceded the world? Tchsiv Yehi Shmoi LaOlam. This is the name of Mashiach, Lifnei Shemesh Yinan Shemoi, so his name was introduced before the Shemesh. The essence, the concept of Geula Mashiach, came about before Briyas Olam. In any case, we see that Gehenna was before the world, and not during Erev Shabbos, Ben Hashmoshes. Amri says the Gemara, they responded like this, Chalala, Hu Denivra Koidev Shnivra Olam. It's hollowness, it's space. That came about before Briyas Olam. That's the essence of Gehenna. It's just void. It's just emptiness. The essence of Yetzer Hara, of Avira, it's just a figment of imagination. It's nothingness. It's just really, really a void. So that's the essence of Gehenna. Chalola, just an emptiness. So that preceded the world. But it's fire. That came about during Erev Shabbos. Says the Gemara, V'or the day of Erev Shabbos Ivri? Is that the case, that the fire of Gehenna was introduced on Erev Shabbos? It seems that it was actually created before Erev Shabbos. V'atanya, Rabbi Yisya Eimer, Ur Shebor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'sheni B'Shabbos. The fire that Hashem created on the second day of creation, Ein Lo Kviya Lo'ilam. It won't go out forever. Shenemar. V'yotzu V'ro, this is Lassad Lovay, they go out and they'll see V'pigri Anoshim, the remnants of the people, HaPoishim Bi, Ki Toilasim Leiv Somos. So the fire burning on the Poshim, the rebellious on Hashem, that stays forever. So the fire of Gehenna was created when? On the second day. V'omar Rabbi Beno, B'rei de Rabula. In fact, we see it in the Pesukim. V'pnei Maloi Nemar. Ki Toiv B'sheni B'Shabbos. We don't find a reference of Ki Toiv. It was good. On the second day. Why? V'pnei Shenivra Boi Ur Shel Gehenna. Because on that day, the fire of Gehenna was created. And Hashem is not happy with the downfall of Rishoyim, so the term Ki Toiv was not used in reference to that day. Bamar Belazar, Ava B'Shaloi Nema by Ki Toiv, even though you don't find the term Ki Toiv specifically mentioned on that day, however, Chazar V'Kaloi Bashishi, on the sixth day, after man was created, in which case there is benefit to the Ur Shel Gehenna to bring tshuva, to bring cleansing to a person, to cleanse him from his averus. So ultimately, it brings goodness. So then the Torah goes back and refers to even Gehenna as being something good. Shenema v'yar l'kim es kol asher asa. In the final, broader scheme of things, es kol asher asa. Ultimately, everything is good. V'inei toiv moed. In any case, we see that when was the Ur Shel Gehenna introduced? Not on Erev Shabbos ben Hashmoshes, like we originally said, rather on the second day of Sheshis Mevirashis. Elo says the Gemara, rather we must say like this. Chalolo koidem shenivra olam. It's chalol, it's space, it's vacuum. That was something that preceded Briyas Olam. That was one of the seven items on that list. And indeed, the fire of Gehenna was created on the second day. So that's regarding the spiritual fire of Gehenna. Our physical fire had two phases in its creation. Initially, the intent, the machshava, the plan by Hashem was to plan to create an Erev Shabbos. That's when it was introduced, so to speak, conceptually. Potentially, v'loy nivrad Motzei Shabbos, but in actuality, only came about on Motzei Shabbos. Hashem allowed it for Adam Arishan. He wanted that the Adam should go ahead and produce that fire, bring it from the Koyach to the Poel, the Sanya. Rabbi Yisrael, Shnei Dvarim Olu B'machshava, Liboreis B'erev Shabbos. There were two things that were Olu B'machshava, Hashem planned, so to speak, to create an Erev Shabbos, V'lo Nivru Ad Motzei Shabbos. But they weren't actually brought about until Motzei Shabbos. Ubu Motzei Shabbos, Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dei B'Adam Rishon. Motzei Shabbos, Hashem implanted a special dose of wisdom in Adam Rishon. Main Dugma Shomala, which resembled the wisdom of the heavenly wisdom, to allow him to bring about, to create these two things. Ve'evishne avonim ve'tochnon over tochon zubazu. And he took two stones, clapped them against each other. Ve'yotzamen or an alchemy fire. That's the first thing. Number two, ve'evishte behemis. He brought two animals, horse and a donkey. Ve'erkiv zubazu. And he cross-mated them. Ve'yotzamen peren out came a mule. Let's take a look at Rashi. Right off to the side here. Elo. So the conclusion is like this. Vadai certainly the Gehenim Niver B'Shein B'Shabbos. That was created on the second day. Vodasane L'El Urber B'Shabbos B'Urdedan. When the Bryce earlier mentioned fire being created Erev Shabbos, that was our fire. With the Tani B'Reish of Motzei Shabbos. And the Bryce which said that it was created on Motzei Shabbos, L'Tikshi. The answer is like this. Kam B'Machshava Kam B'Yitzir. Erev Shabbos, all of Machshava liberis. The Machshava was on Erev Shabbos. The potential was introduced in Erev Shabbos. Well, he never had Matzah Shabbos, but the Bepoel, the actuality, only came about on Matzah Shabbos. So again, when it comes to Gehenim, the Chalal, the space before Briyas Olam, the fire on the second day, our physical fire, the Machshava on Erev Shabbos, Ben Hashmashis, the actual fire on Matzah Shabbos via Adam Arishan's effort. Continues the Gemara. So according to this approach, fire and the mule were introduced by Adam Rishon on Matzah Shabbos. We have a different version regarding the pered, the mule. Rav Shimon Gamli Leimer, pered b'mei Anna haya. That was introduced in the days of Anna. He was the one who created the pered, introduced this concept of a mule to the world. Shenemar hu Anna, asher matzah asayemim b'midbar. This is the Anna that introduced the yemim in the midbar. Yemim are mules. Those chachamim who would be derish the difficult psukim the Torah, they said like this: why was it specifically Anna who introduced the concept of crossbreeding to the world? It was actually very appropriate. Anna pasalaya. He himself was a pasal, was a mamzer. Lefichach hevi pasal elam. Therefore, he introduced a crossbreeding to the world. How do we know that he was a mamzer? Shenema, Eila b'nei Seir HaChiri. Pasuk lists the sons of Seir HaChiri. And the Pasuk continues, Loiton v'shoivel v'tzivon v'ana. So we have Tzivon and Ana as brothers. And then we have another Pasuk, Uksiv, Eila b'nei Tzivon. The sons of Tzivon v'ahia v'ana. So Anna is a son of Tzivon or a brother of Tzivon? Which one? Ella Melamed. Shabbat Tzivon al Imay. Apparently Tzivon had attachments with his mother. V'hoyle b'men Anna. And out came Anna. So Anna was both a brother of Tzivon and a son of Tzivon. So he was a psul. And since he was a psul, he introduced a psul, a mule, into the world. V'dilma trey Anna havu. How do you know? Maybe they're two separate people. One Anna was Tzivon's brother, one was his son. How do you know it was one and the same person? Amarava. Amina Milsa, I said a wonderful thing, the Shvar Malkali Amar, that even Shvar Malka was a Persian king. Even he didn't say it. This was merely a reference to Shmuel, who was a Baki in Dinim, and the Halacha follows Shmuel when it comes to Dinim, as opposed to Rab. So Shvar Malka here is merely a reference, a way of referring to Shmuel. So I said something that even Shmuel Malka didn't say. Amina Milsa, the Shmuel Malka le Amr, Umano Shmuel, who's that? It's Shmuel. Igat Amri, there's another version that it was Rav Papa who said this. Amr Rav Papa. Amina Milsa, I said something. The Shmuel Malka le Amr, Umano Rabba. Rava, some say Rabba because Rava, that Lacha follows Rava when he disagrees with Rabbi Yosef. So he was called Shvar Malki, he was a Baki in Dinim. In any case, this is the wonderful explanation to answer the Kasha. How do we know that the Ana is one and the same? Omakro, Hu Ana? Right, it says, Hu Ana Asher Matzah Sayyemim Bamidbar. This is the Ana that found and introduced the Yemim in the Midbar. Hu Ana Demikara? It's the same Ana mentioned earlier. This Ana who was Tzivain's son is the same Ana mentioned earlier as his brother. So apparently he was an apostle and it was fitting for him to introduce more psulim into the world. Tana Rabbanan. Here we have the list again. Asorot Dvarim, Nivru Berav Shabbos Ben Hashmashis. Be'elohin. Be'er, Umon, Ve'keshes, Haksav, Va'mikhtav, or Va'machtev, the instrument used to engrave the Luchais, Va'luchais, Ve'kibesh HaMoshe, Ma'orash Amad Ba'moshe Eliyahu, Psichas Pia Asen, Psichas Pia Aretz, Levleitz Rishon. Okay, now the Brice will add another couple. Ve'esh Oimrim, some added another item to this list. Af Makle Shal Aren, Shkedeh Ufrachel. This was after the Homachlekes with Kairach, and Hashem instructed each shevet to put a makel, a staff, a stick, in the Ayil Moed, and that's how they will see who was chosen by Hashem and whose makel sprouted forth. It was the makel of Aaron, which produced shkedim, almonds, and blossoms. So that makel, together with its growth, was really created way back during Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashes. V'yesh oimrim af hamazikim. Some add mazikim to the list, the evil spirits that came about during this point of creation, the Erev Shabbos and Hashmashes. One saw that. That's why in a Jewish home it's a zman of nesoyin, of anger and kepeda and machlekes, and we have to be very careful because the mazikim, this is their territory. This is when they were created. V'yesh oimrim av bigdo shel Adam Rishon. Another thing on the list is the begad of Adam Rishon. Let's take a look at Rashi. Bigdash Ladan Rishon, Shechakukis Boy, Kolmen Chaya Behema, which were designed with all the different types of animals, Bunim Salil Nimrod, which is eventually given over to Nimrod, Alkeni Amr, Kenimish Gibrid Said, Ve'esav Hargoy, Esav killed Nimrod, Ve'notlan took away this special beggar, Ficha Chaya Ish Said, that's why he was called Ish Said. Then Shekosabem, Achamudas, Asheritim Abayas, this was the special beggar that was with Rivka in the home that was being a safeguard for her son Esav. And the point here was that by having the sort of the animals embroidered or designed into the clothing, that gave him shlita, control of all the animals. In fact, in Farshim explained that Adam Rishon used that to gather the animals, you know, to give them each their own specific, unique name, which was, of course, introduced by Adam Rishon. Tan Rabban. Here comes another list. Shiva Dvarim Mechusim Bnei Adam. There are seven items that are hidden, concealed from people. Elohim, Yom Misa, person's day of death. As in Farshim explained this way, the fact that a person doesn't know when his life is going to end, he makes sure to always maintain a level of tshuva, as it says, Shuv Yom Echad of Nei Misascha, and since he doesn't know when that is, he's always in a state of tshuva. V'yom Enachama, a person doesn't know when the tzar that he's experiencing, the difficult moment, is going to leave him. As in Farshim explained, because if he knows it's close and coming, that will alleviate somewhat the difficulty, and a person is meant to have a certain dose of tzara to give him tshuva. Likewise, if he sees that it's way far off in the distance, it makes it more difficult to bear, which will increase the tzara and make it more difficult and more severe than he's basher to have. So he doesn't know when the day of Nechama will come. Vayimek HaDin, the depth of the judgment, some explain this to refer to he didn't in Shomayim, because you have two people doing the same act, whether mitzvah, whether avera, and they're judged differently based on their circumstance, their specific situation, their tendencies, their nature. Everything is so deep and varied and intricate. So the Eimek HaDin, we don't know. What else? Ve'ein Adam Yodea Ma'Beliba Shel Chaver. A person never knows what's going on in his friend's mind, his friend's heart. The person doesn't know which act, which is status, will bring about the results of Parnassus. When will the kingdom of Bez David return? When will the Geula come? Malchus Chayevus is referring to the Malchus Roimi, the Malchus Harisha, the guilty Malchus. Masai Tichla, when is it going to be obliterated? Tana Rabban. Gimel Dvarim Ol Machshava Libaris. There are three things that Hashem planned on creating, meaning Hashem introduced into the world conceptually during the Sheshis Mei Bereshis, and eventually manifests himself when appropriate. So there were three things. V'iloy olu, if they would not have been planned, dinu shayalu. It makes sense that they should have been planned and should have been created. Meaning, these things are svara pshuta. It makes sense that they are vital and necessary for the proper functioning of this world. Number one is, alamei sheyasriach. That a maze should decompose. Otherwise, Rashi explains, the kroivim would hold on to the maze, and their avelis would never subside. It's a similar concept that the oval eventually, the intensity of avelis of the morning gets lessened, and the person tends to forget somewhat about the mace. The Gemara says it takes 12 months. And the third thing is that grain should get spoiled, otherwise the farmers would just hoard and hoard, and the prices would hike. Another item on the list is halamat be'ashayetzi Hashem designed and was geyser that coins and currencies of all different types and stripes should be accepted and honored. Many times the value, the actual metal value of the coin is way less than the value which the coin is presenting. In fact, in the U.S., once they suspended the gold standard, today's dollar bills are really worthless. They don't even represent any gold or any type of asset. It's just merely a psychological phenomenon. People honor these pieces of paper. They work for it. They sell for it. They buy for it. And it's a gzera that Hashem established this system so that the economy should function and the world should function properly. So we have a total of three or four things which make sense and are really crucial for the proper functioning and development of humanity. Okay, so in summary, we had several lists. A list of the items created Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemashos. We began with 10. We added a couple more. We have 7 things which preceded the world. We have 7 things which are hidden, concealed from Bnei Adam. And we have 3 things which make sense and needed for the proper functioning of this world. Now regarding fire, we more concluded that when it comes to the spiritual fire of the Gehenna, so the Cholol, the space of Gehenna, preceded the world, but the fire was created on the second day. Regarding our fire, that was introduced conceptually, potentially, Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemashos, but was brought about by Adam HaRishon on Matzah Shabbos, and that explains why we make a bracha. Boirei Moir Eish, to mark, celebrate the creation of this new entity, a fire on Matzah Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah. So we began the perek with the Minig HaMakim regarding Malacha on Erev Pesach Til Chatzos. Says the Mishnah, Makim Shenagu Lasis Malacha B'Tisha B'Av Oisin, a place where they had a Minig to do Malacha on Tisha B'Av. Then you follow, you can do Malacha. So you know that on Tisha B'Av, you meant to refrain from eating, drinking, Rechitza, Sicha, Tashim Shamita, Nilas HaSandal. What about Malacha? It seems from this Gemara, there's no Isser Apidin to do Malacha on Tisha B'Av, unlike a ordinary Avil who must refrain from Malacha. Tisha B'Av is different, as the Mefarshim explained, the Rishonim, it's an Avelus Yishana. It's something which is recurring year after year to commemorate a past event, something in the distant past, as serious as it is. Chacham were concerned about Bita Malacha. They don't want us to be bored and to sit idle. So there's no Isra Malacha Apidin, but there was a Minig. In some places they refrained, in some places they didn't. Makim Shenagu Lasis Malacha B'Tisha B'Av, a place where they would do malacha on Tisha B'Av, then you follow that a minhag. Makom shenagu shelo la'asas malacha eino isin, a place which refrained from malacha on Tisha B'Av, then you follow that minhag. U'b'chol makom, talmid chachamim b'teilim. When it comes to Talmud Chacham, as the Meiri explains, he's meant to experience a more profound avelus for the churban. So all over, in any locale, talmid chachamim are meant to refrain from malacha, but not your ordinary person. As the Meiri explains, don't deviate from the social norm, which will appear like he's conducting himself in a condescending manner, in Yuara and Gaiva. A Talmud Chacham, who is known to live higher standards, according to higher standards, yeah, he's meant to refrain, but not an ordinary person. That's the Shita of Tanakama. Rabbi and Shimon Gamliel, Omer, he says no. Lo'olam yasa adam atzmi talmid chacham. A person has the ability, has the right to present himself in this context like a talmid chacham. Anybody can go ahead, refrain from halacha. There's no concern about appearing haughty. Omar Shmuel, Eina tanis sibur bebavel, Elo tishab abavad. Explains Rashi. We know that when there was a drought, the Chacham would go ahead and establish a public fast. And now, there were some Tanis Sibers which had chumras above and beyond your normal Tanis Sibur. You would have to initiate, commence the Tanis at the time of Ben HaShemoshes, meaning not only the day itself, even the night before, even the Ben HaShemoshes period preceding that day was included in the fast. Says Shmuel, in Bavel, where they had an abundance of water supply, there was rivers and lakes, so they never really established the severe form of the drought Tanis, and therefore the whole concept of this severe Tanis Sibur doesn't apply in Bavel. Ein Tanis Sibur b'Bavel, Elo Tisha b'Avad, except for Tisha B'Av, which needs to conform to higher standards and have the chumris that the general Tanis Sibur would not have in Bavel. So what at this point figures that this is applicable to two chumris. Number one, there was an issur malacha, and of course we're speaking, as Tosfos explains, in a place where there was a minhag to refrain from malacha on Tisha B'Av. So in that sense, Tisha B'Av had the likeness of a Tanis Sibur, asur b'malacha. And number two, the Ben HaShemoshes preceding Tisha B'Av was included in the issur of Tisha B'Av. No one will ask on this. L'meimer d'mita say, t'savar Shmuel, Tesbov, Ben HaShemoshes shlei asur, then indeed the Tisha B'Av begins from this Ben HaShemoshes. You don't need to wait until it's dark. You have to begin observing Tisha B'Av already from Ben HaShemoshes onward. Is that so, according to Shmuel? V'amar Shmuel, Shmuel himself told us, no, Tisha B'Av, Ben HaShemoshes shlei mutar. Only once it's dark do you need to begin observing Tisha B'Av, but not from Ben HaShemoshes. It's not like Yom Kippur, which is a Deiraisa. This is the Rabbanon. And as much as it's more than an ordinary fast day, it's something established by the Nevi'im, but it's the Rabbanon, and it did not include Ben HaShemoshes, which is a time of Suffolk. So that's the case. In what way is Tisha B'Av compared to a severe Tanis Sibur? Ben HaShemoshes was exempted from Tisha B'Av. V'chi teima kosav HaShemoh. Perhaps Shmuel will say, Kol Tanis Sibur Ben HaShemoshes Leimuter. Yeah, every Tanis Sibur, even the more severe form of the public fast days instituted by the drought, did not include Ben HaShemoshes. So now it makes sense. We paralleled Tisha B'Av to the Tanis Sibur. And yeah, Tanis Sibur never included Ben HaShemoshes. Tisha B'Av as well didn't include Ben HaShemoshes. The only thing that Tisha B'Av has a chumrah is the issur malacha, just as the Tanis Sibur was issur malacha. So perhaps that's what he meant. So Ben HaShemoshes is mutter when it comes to Tisha B'Av, a Tanis Sibur. V'anatnam, we learned in the Mishnah that Ben HaShemoshes was included in the Tanis Sibur. Oichlam v'sheisin b'yidyayim. So when it came to those more severe forms of Tanis Sibur instituted by those drought days, they can eat and drink in b'yidyayim when it's still daytime, but apparently not Ben HaShemoshes. L'mutei mai, what are we coming to exclude from the heter achilu shtiyah? My love, l'mutei Ben HaShemoshes. Are we not excluding Ben HaShemoshes? Meaning that the fast day begins at Ben HaShemoshes. Well, you know, l'mutei mishech hashech. You can eat and drink until nightfall. Ben HaShemoshes, that's Suffolk James, Suffolk Laila, and was never meant to be included in the Tanis Sibur. And Tisha B'Av as well has the same halacha. Ben HaShemoshes is mutter. The fact that Tisha B'Av has a chumra of a Tanis Sibur was regarding the issur malacha. And of course, we're speaking in a place where there was a minhag to be asur b'malacha. Name Masayale. Can we have a raya perhaps to Shmuel? That even Tisha B'Av, despite its chumra and its being established by the Nevi'im, never meant to include Ben Hashmasher, since it's Milim Darabon. Should we have a riot to that from the Brisa? Ein Ben Tisha Vav Leimah Kippur. The only difference between Tisha Vav and Kippur is like this. El Shazeh Sveke Asr. A Savak on Tisha Vav is Asr. On Yom Kippur is Asr. Vizeh Sveke Mutter. However, on Tisha Vav, Savak is Mutter. What does this mean? My Sveke Mutter. What does Sveke Mutter mean? La Ben Hashmasher. Should we not assume that's referring to Ben Hashmasher, which is a point of Savak? We're uncertain as to whether it's day or night. So the Brisa supports Shmuel. Only when it comes to Yom Kippur, which is Menat Torah, is a Safek Asr. But not when it comes to Tisha B'Av. Why? Not necessarily. When the Brisa spoke about Sveikai, it wasn't in reference to Ben Hashmashes. Could the Amar Rav Shisha Bar Darvidi, just as he said later on, that Sveikoi is in reference L'kviya D'yarch, to the establishment of the month, of the Rosh Chodesh. Meaning, that when it comes to an uncertainty as to the specific date this fellow is walking through a midbar, in Eretz Yisrael, but he's in a midbar, he doesn't know what day Yom Kippur is meant to fall. He's meant to observe 2 days Yom Kippur. It's the fast 2 days. Sveikoi also. It's a Sveikoi Reis L'chomer. As opposed to Tisha B'Av, which is only Drabbanan. He doesn't have to keep 2 days Tisha B'Av. That's all. We're not talking about Ben Hashmashes. Could the Omar Rav Shisha Ben Ravidi L'kvi D'yarcho? Hachanami L'kvi D'yarcho here as well. We're really speaking about this suffix regarding the date. On Yom Kippur, you have to be Machmer, and not on Tisha B'Av. But it's not a reference to Ben Hashmashes, and there's no riot to Shmuel. But in any case, Shmuel maintains that, in contrast to Yom Kippur, which is D'Raisa, which must include all possibilities and sveikos, Tisha B'Av, since it's only Drabbanon, did not include Ben Hashmashes, and likewise the Tanis Tzibur, even the more severe forms of Tanis Tzibur never included Ben Hashmashes. Now we're going to have an opposing view, that when it comes to Tisha B'Av, all the Tanis Tzibur includes Ben Hashmashes as well. Darash Rav, Ubrois Umanikos, the expectant women and the nursing women, they have to fast and complete the Tisha B'Av fast day, just as they do the same when it comes to Yom Kippur. So apparently Tisha B'Av is considered more severe than other days of Tanis. It's Minhag Neviim. It's on account of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Everybody needs to participate. That's number one. And the Ben Hashmash of Tisha B'Av is included in Tisha B'Av. V'chein Amru Mishmed Rabbi Yechanan. And the same was said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that what? The Ben Hashmash is included even in the Isra of Tisha B'Av. The whole day was included. Whatever is included in that day. Ben Hashmash is always included in the din of that day because of the suffix. So when the Chacham established the Tisha B'Av fast day, it included Ben Hashmash as well. You can't say, well, it's a suffix. No, it's included in the day. Says the Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Yechon Hachi, is that so? That according to Rabbi Yechon, Ben Hashmash of Tisha B'Av is also for Rabbi Yechon. Tisha B'Av ain't a Tanis Tzibur. Tisha B'Av is different than a Tanis Tzibur. The Gemara is assuming that it's more lenient. Says the Gemara, my love of Ben Hashmash. Should we not assume that it's in reference to Ben Hashmash? A Tanis Tzibur includes Ben Hashmash, but not Tisha B'Av. Laila Malacha. It's a reference to Malacha. That on a Tanis Tzibur, you must refrain from Malacha. It was a Halacha. Chachamim wanted them to be engaged in tefillah and za'aka and sa'aka and tshuva to be mevatel the gzera. So a person must refrain from malacha, as opposed to Tisha B'Av, as we explained earlier, which does not have that element. That's all. It's contrasting Tisha B'Av to the other Tanis Tzibur with reference to malacha, but not with reference to Ben Hashmashes, which would apply to both Tisha B'Av and a Tanis Tzibur. Says the malacha tanina. When it comes to malacha, we already learned it in our Mishnah that Tisha B'Av doesn't have a malacha. You don't need Rabbi Yechon to come tell us that. Makim shenagu lasas malacha b'Tisha B'Av isin. In a place where they had a minhag to do malacha on Tisha B'Av, go right ahead. Or makim shenagu shelo lasas ain isin. A place which refrain, then you refrain. So apparently, there's no isin malacha on Tisha B'Av. Now, v'afilu Rav Shimon Gamliel lo yamar. Even Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says, well, he's encouraging everybody to refrain. But that's only, it's a good thing, it's optional, it's advisable, it's not a halacha, it's not a chiv. Ela dechiyas v'leyovet. He's only saying like this. If you sit and you remain idle, you refrain from malacha, it's no concern. Loimechsek yura doesn't appear like haughtiness. Aval mesa leyasa. But he certainly doesn't forbid malacha. There's no issur malacha on Tisha B'Av. So why would Rabbi Yochanan have to go ahead and repeat the same malacha mentioned in our mission? Now the Gemara will look for other options. What was Rabbi Yochanan coming to do when he contrasted Tisha B'Av to other Tanas Tzibur? Ela mai eina ketanas tzibur. What does he mean? Eina ketanas tzibur? The tefillas ne'ila. That when it comes to Tanas Tzibur, they added another tefillah, tefillas ne'ila. But Tisha B'Av doesn't have that tefillah. Is that the point of the contrast? Rechon himself maintains that it's good for a person just to daven and daven. If only a person would just stand and daven a whole day. And Tosfos explains, although that halacha was not meant to allow a person to repeat his shachris 10 times, in the case of a suffix Tosfos brings, then we say, well, just daven again, because it's good to daven. So how would that explain the ne'ila to be being added on Tisha B'Av? So Tosfos explains, because since davening is such a good thing, if only I wish a person would daven all day, so it makes sense that, yeah, he should go ahead and add a tefillah. Daven ne'ila, it's not a repetition, he's adding a new concept, a new element called tefillah ne'ila. So why would Rabbi Yochanan say that on Tisha B'Av there's no ne'ila? That's a more awesome chayva. Although a person can and perhaps should add ne'ila, Tosfos says it would be a mitzvah. But in contrast to a Tanis Tzibur, it was a chayva, it was obligatory. Awesome chayva, hacha rishus. Here on Tisha B'Av was rishus. It was voluntary. So that's the point of the contrast. Tisha B'Av is different than a Tanis Tzibur. Over there, the call of duty, the element, the essence of the day was tefillah and tshuva. Ne'ilah is included in that. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, which is mainly tsar and avelus, there's no chiv to add ne'ilah. Certainly a person can if he chooses to do so. People are saying another pshat. In what way was Rabbi Yochanan contrasting Tisha B'Av to a Tanis Tzibur? My enik a Tanis Tzibur le'esem rabo, reference to the 24 brachas. Rashi explains that instead of the standard 18 by the Shmoneh Esrei, on a Tanis Tzibur they add another 6 brachas. So that only applies to Tanis Tzibur and not to Tisha B'Av. Rav Papa Amar, my enik a Tanis Tzibur, what does it mean? Enik a Rishonis. Rashi explains there were 2 parts to the Tanis Tzibur. It was a whole sequence of fast days. Initially, it wasn't established as such a severe fast day with added chumras. For instance, Ben HaShemashis was still mutter. When it comes to the second set of fast days, they had a higher level of intensity, and the Isser, Achila Vishti, etc. began from the previous night and even from Ben HaShemashis. So the Papa, Rabbi Yochanan holds that Tisha B'Av has Isser Ben HaShemashis. When he said that Tisha B'Av is unlike the Tanis Tzibur, you know what he meant? Unlike the first set of Tanis Tzibur, where the Ben HaShemashis was mutter. Rather, Tisha B'Av is like the second set of Tanis Tzibur, where Ben HaShemashis is included in the Isser. My enik Tanis Tzibur, enik Rishaynis, elokach Rainais Vasur. Tisha B'Av is equated to the second set of Tanis Tzibur, which certainly includes Ben HaShemashis. So at this point we have a machlekes regarding Ben HaShemashis of the Tanis Tzibur of Tisha B'Av. According to Shmuel, it's not included in the Isser. According to Rava and Rabbi Yochanan, it is. Meisvei going to have a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. How can you say that the Ben HaShemashis of Tisha B'Av is included in the Yom HaTanis? Meisvei ein ben Tisha B'Av leYom Kippurim. You know what the difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur is? Ela shezeh sfeikei aser is one difference. On Yom Kippur, the suffix is aser, but it's sfeikei mutter. On Tisha B'Av, it's mutter. My sfeikei mutter. What do we mean? Sfeikei on Tisha B'Av is mutter. La ben HaShemashis shaloi. Apparently, we're speaking about the point of uncertainty, the twilight zone. So ben HaShemashis on Tisha B'Av is mutter. Omar shishi be darvidi. Loi likvidi yarcha. No, we're not speaking ben HaShemashis. We're speaking about when there's a suffix pertaining to the date. So when it comes to Yom Kippur, you have to be machmer, fast 2 days. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, you don't need to. But when it comes to Ben HaShemashis, perhaps it is included in the Isser of Tisha B'Av. Continues the Gemara. Let's just stop for a moment. So Brisa said, the only difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur is regarding the Suffolk, whatever Suffolk means. We can infer from this, apparently regarding all other elements, Zev is a Shoven, all other of their elements, Tisha B'Av and Kippur, they're equal, they're similar. This is a proof to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says a chiddush that on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, not only can a person not engage in proper bathing, but even just a small, mini, partial bathe is awesome. A person may not insert his finger into water on Tisha B'Av, just as he can't do so on Yom Kippur, the time of inui, of discomfort. So Tisha B'Av has this unique chumrah, which doesn't apply to other fast days. And this is a diuk from the Braisa, because there's only one difference between Tisha B'Av and Kippur regarding suffolk. Apparently, regarding everything else, they're equated one to the other, including the iser of hayshatas etzboi b'may. Meisve b'makash on this. Ein bein Tisha B'Av l'tam tzibur. You know, the difference between Tisha B'Av and the ordinary fast day is as follows. Elosh is the osur by Seis Malacha. The time of Tzibur is osur by Seis Malacha. As we mentioned earlier, it's a time for davening, for tshuva. V'zeh mutter by Seis Malacha b'makom shenagu. Tisha B'Av is really mutter in Seis Malacha, in a place where they had a minig not to refrain from Malacha. So that's the difference. There's a kula to Tisha B'Av regarding Malacha. In a place where is asa b'siyas malacha, of course they refrain. But apidin etzmut, hol echol devrayim zev zeh shavin. Apparently, regarding all other items, Tisha B'Av and an ordinary fast day are equated to one another. Fine. Now there's one problem. V'ilu gab b'tanis tzibur tani. When it comes to ordinary fast day, what do we learn? Because she'amru asa b'rechitza. The chachamim prohibited rechitza. It was only a proper wash. Only if it involves his whole guf, which is a proper rechitza. But if he's merely rinsing his face, his hands, his feet, that's okay. And Tisha B'Av is meant to be equated, right? The chol devrayim zev zeh shavin. So, other than malacha, Tisha B'Av and other fast days are considered the same. And if you're allowed to rinse yourself on a fast day, you can do so on Tisha B'Av. And this is a direct contradiction to the previous Gemara. Then we contrasted Tisha B'Av to Yom Kippur. The only difference is regarding Suffolk. Apparently, regarding sticking your hand, your finger in water, it's Asur. So which one is it? Is Tisha B'Av meant to be compared to Yom Kippur, in which case it's Asur to rinse your finger, or compared to other fast days, in which case it's Mutter? Amar Papa, Tana, Kuli Nakat, Ketani. That's Rashi. Tana, Kuli Nakat. Everything's going to work out. Why? Kol hani ein bein chad tanamrinu. Both these references to the term ein bein, the only difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur is, etc. Between Tisha B'Av and ordinary fast day, etc. Chad tana amrinu. It was one Tana who presented everything. The kuli nakat. He was merely presenting leniencies. He wasn't coming to provide a list of chumras, just kulas. Bereisha Tana, ein bein Tisha B'Av, b'kal Yom Kippur, l'chatchila. Elosh sfeika b'chul. So first, he compared Tisha B'Av to Yom Kippur. You meant to know, a kula. What is the kula that Tisha B'Av has over Yom Kippur? Regarding suffolk. So you're contrasting Tisha B'Av that has a kula, to Yom Kippur doesn't have that kula. And then he proceeded to compare it Tisha B'Av to other fast days. What's another kula? V'seifa Tana, ein Tisha B'Av kal, mitanis tzibur, elini malacha. So he found another contrast. Tisha B'Av is more lenient than other fast days regarding malacha. He was simply trying to find kulas, not chumras. So Tisha B'Av has a kula in contrast to Yom Kippur, in one element, in contrast to other fast days in a different element. However, u'bechumrei, the chumra Tisha B'Av mitanis tzibur la'ayriach, when it comes to chumras, that certainly Tisha B'av has over other fast days, that he didn't get into. He didn't discuss. The Tidak Menez Ev Zeshav. They can go ahead and make a dig. Well, when it comes to other things that are equal, no. He didn't say they're equal. Of course, when it comes to rinsing, Tisha B'av is more chamer than other fast days. He never meant to imply that Tisha B'av is equated to other fast days regarding everything else. No, he meant to find a kula that Tisha B'av has in contrast to Yom Kippur regarding Safek and in contrast to other fast days regarding Malacha. But certainly there are chumras present in Tisha B'av that are not present elsewhere. For instance, rinsing. That on an ordinary fast day, you can go rinse your face, hands, and feet, but not on Tisha B'av. Okay, time for a brief chazor of today's daf. So I'm back to Havdalah, where we make the bracha, Bar Mara'esh. Atayz explains it's not a brachas hanen, it's a brachas hashvach, because fire was created on Matzah Shabbos. The Gemara says, although it was all over Machshava, it was conceptually, potentially introduced on Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashos, but it was actually brought about through Adam Rishon on Matzah Shabbos. We got involved in the discussion regarding Gehenim. The Chalola Shel Gehenim was introduced before Bri'as Olam, the fire on the second day of creation. We had a list of many items created Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashos. Seven things which preceded the world, Torah, Tshuva, Gehenim, Gehenim. We have seven things which are concealed, including what's going on in your friend's mind and heart. We have three things which are vital and necessary for the proper functioning of the world, including the fact that currency is respected and accepted. We proceeded with the Mishnah, that there was a minhag hamakom to refrain from malacha on Tisha B'av. So you meant to follow the minhag hamakom. A Talmud Chacham is meant to be batal all over. Shimon Gamliel says, a person in any location should present himself in this context as a Talmud Chacham and refrain from malacha. Now we had a discussion regarding the elements present in Yom Kippur, in Tisha B'av, and Eitan Sibur. So when it comes to Yom Kippur, Sveikas Asar, you have a suffix regarding the date, you have to go ahead and keep 2 days Yom Kippur. Ubrois and Menikos participate on Yom Kippur. Even Hayshatas Etzboi B'mayim is also. Yemen HaShmashas is also. When it comes to Tisha B'av, Sveikai Mutar, Ubrois and Menikos do participate. Etzboi B'mayim is also, like Yom Kippur, regarding Yemen HaShmashas. According to Shmuel, it is not included. According to Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, it is. Regarding Etanas Tzibur. There we have Isser Malacha, which is meant to avail us to the involvement of Tefillah and Tshuva. We have Tefillahs Ne'ila added to the set of Tefillahs. We have the Chavdalot Brachos. And regarding the Ben HaShmashas, again we have the same Achlekes between Shmuel, who did not include the Ben HaShmashas into the Tanis, whereas according to Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, even Ben HaShmashas was included in the Tanis Tzibur. Be well, Hatzlacha Rabbah.